Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of an Advent and Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of Todd's Advent and Christmas sermons.
People who have done anything approximating a scientific report admit that the majority of people who try to change their sexual orientation do not change.
That's Dr. Jack Drescher of the American Psychiatric Association. Of course, this was the ruling or the judgment handed down by the APA recently that so-called reparative or restorative therapies for people who are gay, lesbian, transsexual, bisexual, they're not only ineffective, people don't change, or they come close to saying people can't change, they went so far as to say they're harmful. Is that true? So what if you are, you find yourself with homosexual inclination, and as a Christian you say, I can't do this. The world says embrace it. What does Scripture say, and is it possible, by the power of God's Word, for it to change? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. For the last half hour of this Tuesday afternoon's program on December the 1st, we're going to talk about leaving homosexuality. You can join us, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or email us here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org. Alan Chambers is our guest, president of Exodus International, based in Orlando, Florida. He's author of the new book, Leaving Homosexuality, A Practical Guide for Men and Women Looking for a Way Out. Alan, welcome to Issues Etc.
Great to be here, Todd. Thanks for having me.
The experts, I mean, none other than the American Psychiatric Association, says it's not only ineffective, it's harmful. How do you respond?
Well, I'm glad I don't live my life by what the American Psychiatric Association says or the American Psychological Association. The fact of the matter is there are tens of thousands of men and women just like me who have found freedom from homosexuality. You know, we offer freedom from so many other things that people are affected by or struggling with, and this is one of them. And I think for anyone to say that it's not possible, that people like me don't exist, is really to deny the truth that I do exist, and I have found freedom. My life did change.
What they will say, of course, and I'm sure you've heard this, is while you may think you have changed, you haven't. You're living in denial, perhaps psychologically, emotionally, a more dangerous state than your previous state. How would you respond?
Well, you know, for those of us as Christians, and I'm glad that we're dealing with a Christian perspective here on the station, is that, you know, the issue of denial, biblical self-denial, is a reality for all of us. We all are born into a fallen world. We're all born with circumstances and issues and genetic predispositions and you name it that we have to face every day. And the truth is we are called to deny the power of those things in our lives, whether it's the power that one addiction had over us or one ideology had over us or the power of something that we used to give into. You know, the truth is we're called to deny those things. And when you starve something, it does die. And so when it comes to the issue of homosexuality, for someone to say they know more about my life or the life of someone who has faced the issues that I faced isn't true. The fact of the matter is I struggled with homosexuality. I gave into homosexuality. I identified as a gay man. And today, that couldn't be further from who I am or the life that I lead.
Let's talk about what is often raised as kind of the barrier, again, telling people it cannot change, and that is the genetic factor. Does it matter whether or not the inclination toward homosexual behavior is in the genes or not?
Great way to ask that question. No, it doesn't matter. You know, is there any evidence that it is genetic? There's never been a study that's been replicated or proven that. In fact, many gay researchers who have set out or endeavored to prove that homosexuality was genetic ended up giving more credence to the fact that it is a developmental issue that we face. Yet, on the other hand, it doesn't really matter whether it's genetic or not. The truth is we are all born fallen genetically, emotionally, psychologically, physically, relationally, spiritually, and therefore we all have a decision to make. What are we going to do about our fallen nature? Are we going to give into it, or are we going to live beyond it? And through the power of Jesus Christ, we can live beyond it, and that's the great news. And so for people like me or people who are faced with all sorts of things that have been proven genetic, alcoholism, obesity, cancer, rage, you name it, the list goes on and on. People can live beyond their genetic predisposition. Just because something's genetic doesn't make it right. Just because something's genetic doesn't mean that our genetics are a tyranny over us and that we have to bow down to our genetics. The truth is people overcome their genetics all the time.
I want you to talk about, you know, you said that you had identified as a gay man and lived that way. I want you to talk about the gay lifestyle, or for that matter, the lesbian lifestyle, whatever it may be, and how this is almost tailor-made to draw people who may at least initially understand what they feel inclined to do is wrong to convince them that it isn't.
I think that we have more than just homosexuality to look at when it comes to those things. We have all sorts of counter lifestyles, all sorts of cultural lifestyles that are out there that are drawing people in. People are looking for their needs to be met, whatever those needs are. They're always looking for a way to affirm or silence that ache in their souls, if you will. And homosexuality is but one way to do that. And the gay community is a wonderful counterfeit, and that's what I came to know it as. It was a place that did offer friendship. It did offer camaraderie. It did offer a place where you could get your needs met in a variety of ways. And the people there, for the most part, were just people like me looking for affirmation, looking for friendship, looking for satisfaction, looking for contentment. And I think they begin to settle there. And of course, there's strength in numbers, and no one wants when they have a community of people for that community to go away. And so I think that people are on a quest, really, to keep people trapped in that, because there is comfort and strength when there are others around you.
Some people say that the solution for the church, and there are churches, you know as well as I do, that have opted for this strategy, and that is to affirm homosexuality, to ignore what the Bible has to say about it being a sin, along with many other sins, of course, and to say what we need to do is welcome homosexuals where they're at and affirm them in their behaviors and their proclivities.
I think we can start with the first part of that, welcome homosexuals where they're at. Of course we should. The church is the best place for everyone. But I don't think we need to go as far as to sidestep Scripture and give into what is absolutely a destructive life for people, regardless of whether it's homosexuality or heterosexuality or you name it. The truth is that Jesus was 100% grace, so invite people, bring them to church, and welcome them into your congregations. But he was 100% truth as well, and so we've got to stand on the Word of God and realize there is a right and a wrong when it comes to the way we live our lives and the way we were created as sexual and relational beings. And so we've gone too far in the church today and gotten involved in what I would consider sloppy agape. We've sidestepped the truth, but it's as dangerous as sidestepping the issue of grace. And I think historically in the church, we've erred on the side of truth when we have to be 100% of both, just like Jesus was.
On the other end, of course, are the Fred Phelps of the world who have a message where there appears to be where homosexuality is singled out as an unforgivable sin, where there is no grace for the repentant homosexual, where there's only condemnation. Your thoughts there?
If there's no grace for the homosexual, if there's no hope for the homosexual, then there is no grace and no hope for anyone, and that's not the God we serve. There is no place in Scripture where we can look and find that God is an angry God who's out to strike us down or to ever be someone who doesn't forgive, that it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. And it says in 2 Peter that he is unwilling for any to perish, that all might come to repentance. Fred Phelps' theology is flawed, and there's no scriptural basis to it.
We're talking with Alan Chambers, president of Exodus International, based in Orlando, Florida. He's author of a new book, Leaving Homosexuality, A Practical Guide for Men and Women Looking for a Way Out. I want to hear from you. If you want to call in anonymously, we will honor that request as well, or email us anonymously, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, and you can Twitter us at @issuesetc. You can find out more about Alan Chambers' book, Leaving Homosexuality, under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Click On Demand. We'll have a link there tonight. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk to Ron Rhodes about witnessing to Jehovah's Witnesses. When we come back, how does it actually work? I mean, some people say it could simply be a mechanical thing, but I think it must begin with regarding homosexuality as a sin like every other sin, and regarding the person who is trapped or inclined toward homosexuality as a sinner just like me. I have my temptations that don't include homosexuality, but my goodness, I cannot regard the sins toward which I am tempted, in which I have indulged, do indulge in thought, word, and deed. I cannot regard them as sins less than homosexuality. And if there's forgiveness for me and my sins, if Christ's blood suffices to pay the price for my sins, if his righteousness suffices before God for me, then it certainly must for the homosexual as well. We'll talk about it a little bit more on the other side of the break. I do want to hear from you. 10 more minutes with Alan Chambers of Exodus International. 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org.
Days, value affords me a new attitude. It lets me appreciate that I can start my day with more than a $6 cup of coffee, and that I officially have permission to skip dinner out to spend time talking with my family over casserole in. Concordia Publishing House offers Christian products that help me focus on what matters most. Visit any of the three Concordia bookstores downtown in Kirkwood and on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton, or shop online at cph.org and find out what a new value attitude looks like in your life.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
Thanks to God's gift of the internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
Hi, this is Ville calling from Finland. I believe the day will come when you cannot enter the office as a pastor in the ELCA unless you subscribe to the ordination of gays and lesbians. And why do I believe that? Because Americans are sinners like we Finns are.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about leaving homosexuality. Alan Chambers of Exodus International is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Alan, do you think the church has lost some credibility in the homosexual community? by essentially a double standard. That is, being quite vocal on the issue of homosexuality as a sin, but relatively silent when it comes to heterosexual sins, fornication, adultery, divorce, and the like.
I absolutely do. We in the church have treated this issue like it was a greater sin than other sins. We've talked about it more. We've focused on it more. And I think that we have an angry and bitter gay rights movement today because of that. I think we created that in the church because we have been less than loving, less than compassionate, less than accepting to people who really need to be accepted, who Jesus loves, who Jesus died for. And I think we've got to do a better job. And when we do a better job, I think we'll see people come in to the church ready and willing to serve the Lord and to focus on what's best from Him.
How was it that you came to the point where you wanted out?
I grew up in the church. I became a Christian when I was 6 years old. I knew right from wrong, and when I got involved in homosexuality, it was really out of desperation. I grew up in the church, and the church didn't offer an answer for me, and I got to the place where I was just so sick of praying about this issue, so tired of dealing with it, that I decided to check it out for myself. I really got involved and found a little satisfaction there for sure. I didn't leave homosexuality behind because it was so bad. I left homosexuality behind because I found something better, and I found it in the church. And I think that's really when I began to see the church for what it really was, for what God really created it to be. The people who were there were authentic and real and reached out to me in a way that I had never been reached out to before. That's really what drew me into a new community. I found a community that was relevant, that was authentic, that was transparent, that was better than my favorite gay bar, better than my favorite group of gay friends. And that's really what changed my life, was the transforming power that Christ wants every church to be.
I've often thought that for the church to properly advertise what it's about in the world to everyone, to all sinners, they should put on the sign outside, "For sinners only," that no one gets in because they're good or satisfy the demands of God's perfect law. It is, to qualify, you have to be one for whom Jesus died, for whom he spent his life and his blood. What do you think?
I think that's exactly right. You know, I go to a church called Grace Church, and one of the things that we've said so often is that church is messy because people are messy, and God wants to get messy with us. He, you know, changed out of his heavenly clothes, came here to earth in order to save us because he knew we couldn't do it ourselves. And I think that's really how we as Christians should view people who are outside of the church, who are looking at us wondering, what are they all about? What is it that goes on in there? And I think we should say, hey, you know what? Come in here and join the rest of us imperfect people who are just striving to understand and serve the Lord in a new and exciting way. And that's what this life is all about. And I think when we begin to do that, that people will say, hey, that's not so mystical. That's not so crazy. I want to join you.
What do you say to a mother and a father who have just found out, kid comes home from college, and has finally at long last announced to mom and dad, I'm gay? What would you say to them by first piece of advice for mom and dad?
A number of things. First and foremost, that your relationship with your child it should remain intact. That's your kid. You love them. You may not agree with the life that they're living, but what parent agrees with 100% of what their kids do? And I think that that's something that moms and dads need to know. We do conferences all over the world, really. And one of the things that we often hear from our Love One Out conference is that parents are saying, thank you for giving me permission to love my gay or lesbian son or daughter. And I think that that's the biggest thing that we've got to hammer home, is that they're still your kid. Love them no matter what. Don't make this the number one issue in your relationship.
What would you say to somebody who says, you know, I go to a church and I don't think we have any gay people or people who are inclined in that direction?
Then I would say, is it a church of one or two? You know, the truth is, there is someone literally in every church who either struggles with same-sex attractions or who is in relationship with someone who does. I've heard from pastors. In fact, a few years ago, a pastor of a very large church, about 10,000 members, said, we don't have that problem at our church. And I said, well, then when you get your head out of the sand and realize that there are people who are struggling with all sorts of things in your church, let me know, because we need to be there to help you help them, because they are there. The truth is, there is someone imperfect in every church who's struggling with something. Homosexuality is just one of those things.
Is it when someone says, look, I'm so deep in, I've lived this way my whole life, I don't know what it even means to think about myself as a heterosexual, I never have, what would you say?
The opposite of homosexuality isn't heterosexuality, it's holiness. This isn't about leaving homosexuality more than it is your journey towards the cross. This isn't about going into heterosexuality. There is no place in the Bible that says people who choose to be obedient and serve Christ and discard the label of homosexual will experience heterosexual feelings. That's not the point. The point is God created us for something more. He created us for ways that are intended to pursue his holiness. And when we are pursuing his holiness, he'll change us from the inside out. But that might not mean heterosexual feelings or a heterosexual relationship, but it will mean a new identity in him that doesn't include calling yourself by less than he created you to be. Calling yourself gay or lesbian is less than who he created us to be.
Finally, what do you say to someone who's listening to us right now who is, in fact, struggling with same-sex attraction?
You're not alone. There are millions of people in the world who are struggling with those very things. There are 400,000 people that contact the Ministry of Exodus every single year. You are absolutely not alone in this. And if you need help, we'd love to walk beside you. This has been our journey. This is my journey. The people who work at Exodus, this is what we live to do, is to help people understand who they are in Christ and to find their place in him and with him. And if you are struggling, there is a ministry in your area. There's a place where we can refer you to. We'd love to serve you in that way.
Alan Chambers is president of Exodus International, based in Orlando, Florida. He's authored the new book, Leaving Homosexuality, A Practical Guide for Men and Women Looking for a Way Out. Alan, thank you very much for your time. Keep up the good work.
Hey, thanks, Todd. Great to be here.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss witnessing to Jehovah's Witnesses. Ron Rhodes will be our guest. Folks, if you appreciate the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc., please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Or go to our website tonight, make a secure online donation, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. This is a worldwide outreach for sinners only, and we think that is worthy of your support. Issuesetc.org, click donate. I know that it's easy because our culture, whether it is the culture that is in favor of accepting homosexuality as just another alternative lifestyle orientation, whatever you may call it, or it is our culture saying, no, there's still something wrong with this, but we can't quite put our finger on it. Our culture has a tendency to either glamorize or make notorious a sin like this, an inclination like this, homosexuality, and all of its variants. It's bizarre, it's unusual, and it attracts our attention. The church has a clearer view of these kinds of things. The church doesn't see one kind of a sinner and another kind of a sinner when it looks out on the world or within its own ranks. It sees just sinners for whom Jesus died. The church has a clearer view of these things. It doesn't look out into the world and say that there is one sin that rises above the others that is less forgivable. It sees just the common sin to all mankind that manifests itself in me, in you, and in many and various ways, in how we think, what we say, what we do, and all those things toward which we are inclined. Now, the church needs to marshal the arguments, that is, to talk about how the Bible does speak clearly on this issue, so that it might address this sin like it addresses every other. Of course, the Word of God is the only basis upon which we can make these kinds of statements. And when the Word of God binds us to make these statements, we are bound to make them, whether they're popular or not. But let's not forget that although it may have a certain glamour or a certain notoriety attached to it by our culture, the church needs to keep that clear-eyed view. It is one sin among many. And Scripture is clear on one thing. St. Paul says it is true and worthy of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He regards himself as the foremost. I think we all should do the same. And then we can see one another as the sinners for whom Christ shed his blood. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.